we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to have you with us today on the program. Walker Wildman here with you at The Core and American Family Radio. Rick Green and myself, we're your host each week here on the program, and it's good to be with you on this edition of the show. Well, you got the hour with just me, and I've got the hour to myself, rather, and I have you, thankfully, our listening audience. And so we're going to fill the show with news and information and break down what's going on in our country, and specifically today in Washington, D.C. We've got at least three confirmation hearings ongoing in various committees within the U.S. Senate. So we'll break those down and we'll hone in, rather, on RFK Jr. and his confirmation hearing. And we've got multiple clips from that. And we're going to flood you with information, is what we're going to do today. And then hopefully it's all very helpful and useful information here on the program. Before we do that, I want to mention a few things. First is our scripture for the day, Psalm 146, verse 8 and 9. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. So the Lord has a tendency, has a consistency of protecting those who are righteous, who are being treated unfairly, who are being treated unjust. And also the Lord thwarts the way of the wicked. And we can see example after example of that throughout Scripture. And the Lord is the same Lord as he was then during these writings. And he's the same God today. And so the Lord today still opens the eyes of the blind, raises up those who are lowly. The Lord loves the righteous, and he also thwarts the way of the wicked. So God's word is never changing. It's consistent. It's the same throughout the ages. And we can count on the word of the Lord and his consistent character throughout all generations. That's Psalm 146. Culture Warrior is our latest film that we released, and I've got the DVD actually in studio with me. If you're watching on Facebook, on At The Core's Facebook page, or if you're over on stream.afa.net, watching the live show there at stream.afa.net, you can see the Culture Warrior DVD here. We've got this available online as well. But all things Culture Warrior can be found over at culturewarrior.movie. And this is a story, a fascinating story, of the founding of American Family Association, the story of my grandfather, Don Wildman, and also really the story of America's culture war, going back to the 70s and 80s, and even up to date now with the work of AFA. So very fascinating film. And I'm a little bit biased, but that's okay. I've heard from other people who maybe aren't as biased, and they've said it's great too. So I'll take their word for it. But culturewarrior.movie is the URL. Culturewarrior.movie is the URL. You can watch the entire film there at culturewarrior.movie. And you can order the Culture Warrior kit. We'll send you DVD, book, bookmark, commemorative issue of the magazine, the Stand magazine commemorative issue. So just a lot to offer there at culturewarrior.movie, and we'll be highlighting this more over the coming weeks. But go there and check it out. Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. That's our latest film slash documentary that we've released for our audience. The other thing I want to remind you of as we get closer to the summer is our Activate Summit, June 12th through the 14th. June 12th through the 14th. That'll be here in Tupelo, Mississippi. at the Cadence Bank Conference Center. If you want to check out the pricing, the schedule, the speakers, all the information you need to know about our Activate Summit, we would love to have you join us in mid-June of this year here at Cadence Bank Conference Center. Go to activate.afa.net, activate.afa.net to register, find out all the information you need. And we look forward to seeing several hundred of you at our Activate Summit this summer, June 12th through the 14th. That's coming up. And our theme this year for our first annual Activate Summit is Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. So we're going to go back to the fundamentals, to the basics, or to quote the name of the show, we're going to go back to the core of the Christian faith and why we believe what we believe. Then we're going to build from there. And in future years, we'll have different themes, all building on the authority of Scripture. Well, RFK Jr.'s hearings have been ongoing, rather, this morning in Washington, D.C. There's also a couple more Senate hearings ongoing. But this one's the most newsworthy, just because of some of the information that was covered in it. But before we do that, I want to touch a little bit on the topic of illegal aliens, illegal immigration, and this mass deportation that is ongoing right now around the country. By the way, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, they're averaging over 1,000 arrests a day. They're averaging over 1,000 apprehensions, which end up equating to 1,000 deportations a day. President Trump has stated, and Tom Holman has confirmed, that the president wants to average about 1,200 arrests from Immigration and Customs Enforcement and deportations a day. This is just from the internal Customs Enforcement team. That's not counting what the apprehensions and the deportations are taking place actively at the border, the immediate expulsions. But these are dangerous, illegal alien criminals that are in our country illegally, and they're being apprehended in the interior with ICE and other federal agencies and being deported as well. So they're averaging about 1,000 a day, which is drastically up from what Biden was doing. And look, these men and women of ICE and other federal agencies, they're emboldened. They're on it. They're doing excellent work. And so they need to be fully supported by the entire federal apparatus and state and local law enforcement as well. But one kind of humorous thing about what illegal immigrants that are here are dealing with, and I have zero sympathy, is they're wanting to self-deport. They are wanting to, and many are, they're self-deporting. And here's why this is important. There's multiple reasons to self-deport. One of the reasons is you can do it on your own terms, on your own time. But secondly, you don't get registered in the database, all right? So if you self-deport, you're not going to have to be processed at an immigration facility, at an Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility or a local federal law enforcement facility where you have your fingerprints done, picture taken, name logged, all that information, sometimes DNA collected, depending on the individual. These illegal immigrants are wanting to avoid that at all cost because once you get picked up in the system and then we catch you again on the southern border or again in the interior, the consequences and the repercussions are more severe than just a one-time encounter. So nonetheless, illegal immigrants are trying to self-deport. And they're actually having trouble now because the Trump administration is not giving them these slips to take to the airport, to bypass TSA, bypass the ticket counter, going straight to the gate is what they were doing with this form. The Trump administration said no more. And these illegal immigrants don't have IDs. At least they don't. Many of them don't have valid IDs that are picked up by TSA otherwise. Nonetheless, illegal immigrants are having a hard time self-deporting. Let's listen to clip one.
I know there's some questions about now. We have illegals wanting to leave on an airplane. And guess what? You and I talked about this before. They can't get on an airplane because they don't have an ID because the Biden administration did allow them. Now they can't get allowed. So we got to work out a lot of these little kinks that are happening throughout this discovery of people that want to self-deport themselves. So we're going to do the transportation. We're going to do all of that and put them in these facilities and start moving them out to their country.
You bring up such a good point. They're trying to self-deport themselves, but they don't have IDs. But they were allowed into this country with a paper just saying, I am whoever I say I am.
That's right. That's exactly what happened. And so now you're finding yourself, are we going to make one-time exception for them to actually board an airplane now because they're leaving the country? Maybe they'll do that by escorting by an officer. I don't know. But I like the military planes and the help from DOD helping us do this, because you kind of will circumvent that situation.
Well, there you have it. That's just a news clip of an anchor and a guest talking about the dilemma that these illegal immigrants are facing. And once again, I have zero sympathy. And I love what the White House press secretary, Carolyn Leavitt, I believe is how you pronounce her last name. She answered this question masterfully, and I should have brought this clip in, but I didn't. Where one of the reporters basically asked her about this whole, you know, are all of the illegal immigrants being arrested and deported? Do all of them have violent criminal backgrounds? Was basically the question. And do you guys pledge to only deport, apprehend and deport violent illegal aliens, Bobby?
I think it was undocumented.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Bobby.
You got to get with the times, brother.
Yes, I'm sorry. Let me go back to the politically correct.
Yeah.
Undocumented.
And she called him on that too.
Poor migrants. Yeah. Sympathy card. Yeah, she did call him out on that. And the terminology is important here, folks, to Bobby's point. The terminology is important. Factually, these are foreign aliens. Aliens is by definition foreign, but these are illegal aliens by legal definition. And before we all got our feathers in a ruffle and everybody had to have their teddy bear, the term alien was not a derogatory, you know, belittling, dehumanizing term, and it never has been, and it really isn't now. It's just a factually accurate original text term to describe people who are in this nation and shouldn't be here because they're not legal. They haven't entered the nation legally, right? So the legal federal statutory definition of illegal immigrants is illegal aliens, all right? And that's what's used in all the court documents. So so to call these illegal immigrants illegal aliens is 100% proper. It's not derogatory. It's not dehumanizing. That's just a factual reality until, you know, politically correct culture came along, and then we had to start softening everything, whatever that means. And now they're calling them just migrants, which is a complete misrepresentation of what's going on here, all right? So they're illegal aliens. But nonetheless, the White House press secretary answered this question where the reporter was trying to basically corner the White House, which good luck with that now, about, you know, are you guys going to commit to only deporting violent criminal aliens? And the White House press secretary said, we're going to commit to deporting as many illegal aliens. Oh, bless me. As we possibly can, and we're not caveating it. We're not going to say that some people are going to be deported and other people's are safe, because that's basically amnesty, which is illegal without congressional approval. And so, and Tom Holman's done a great job on this as well, is we're not taking the bait on saying, well, we're only going to deport these people. We're only going to deport these people, and if you don't fall within this category, you're completely safe, and you can just roam our streets and suck off the lifeblood of our economy with no consequence. Every single individual who is in our country without proper due process and documentation and legal authorization, they are eligible. They are by definition criminal illegal aliens because they broke federal law to cross in. And they are eligible for apprehension and deportation. That's a fact. And the White House has to continue this. We're not falling for this amnesty, you know, sympathy card where we, you know, say that, well, certain people are going to be deported and other people aren't. No. Every criminal illegal alien, which is every illegal alien, is eligible for deportation and is on the table.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, just returned from the presidential inauguration of President Trump and Vice President Vance. And let me tell you something, folks. There's excitement in the air among millions and millions and millions of Americans who are ready for some common sense changes to come to our country. Guess what? We're going to Washington, D.C. again for our Spiritual Heritage Tour in June and September. We're over halfway full. If you want to go with us to see our nation's capital from a distinctively Christian heritage viewpoint, then you need to contact us. You need to go to wildmangroup.com, WILDMONgroup.com. We're also going to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to Boston in October. For information on any of these tours, go to wildmangroup.com, WILDMONgroup.com.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Well, as you just heard right there coming out of the break, our tours to Williamsburg, Washington, D.C., Boston, that's a brand new one, by the way, this year, in 2026, the Holy Land, all those are available at wildmangroup.com. Our Boston trip, which is going to be headed up by myself and my brother, Wesley, in October of this year, that's a brand new tour. We've already got one bus full, and we're on the second bus. And we're only taking two buses, by the way, because we want to maintain our sanity. So we're only taking two buses, and it's our first time going, so we want to ensure quality. You can go to wildmangroup.com and check that out. We're taking a group actually in 3 weeks to Israel, but this is a makeup tour from last year due to the war. But with that being said, we're probably going to open registration for next year's Israel tour in the next few weeks. So be on the lookout for that, for those that have been asking. We are, Lord willing, going back to the Holy Land in 2026, roughly 13 months out. And we're looking at a Footsteps of Paul tour as well. In Greece. So if anyone has wanted to go to Corinth and Philippi and Athens, Thessalonica, we're going to do it in 2026. And it's going to be back-to-back with Israel. So if you want to do both, for you travel junkies out there, you can do it. So more information on that coming out in the next few weeks. Back to our discussion, just to put a bow on this illegal immigrant talk, this illegal alien talk. And look, I'm not about, you know, policing everybody's language, but terminologies and definitions are important, okay? And if you want to call them illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, that's fine. Undocumented is a bit deceitful. The term undocumented, and Governor DeSantis pointed this out at a press conference this week, to call these illegal immigrants undocumented immigrants or undocumented, whatever, migrants, is to give the impression that they simply don't have the documents on them, right? That they're here under legitimate circumstances. They just don't happen to have documents on their person. For example, driving down the road and you don't have your driver's license, but it's at home. Well, you could say, well, I was undocumented, right? I just didn't have the documents on my person. But in the system, I'm legit, all right? And so that's the problem with calling these illegal aliens undocumented, is because it's giving this impression that all they need is a sheet of paper and then boom, the magic's done and all of a sudden they're legit. That's just not the case. So there's a little bit of deception going on there in the terminology. And the one that really gets under my skin the most, and this term is being used by like Fox News host. I heard Jesse Waters say it last night. I'm thinking, dude, what are you doing? You're like totally playing into the left's narrative, but calling them migrants, not illegal immigrants or illegal migrants, simply calling these illegal aliens migrants. What? What does that even mean? Like that definition of migrant is actually so broad that people don't even know what you're talking about. If we care anything about words and definitions, we don't even care. You don't even know what you're talking about when you just say migrants. So that gets under my skin a little bit. Let's just say, okay, here's the definition. If we really want to get down to this, which I think we do. The definition of migrant, now this is from Oxford, is a person who moves from one place to another, especially in order to find work or a better living condition. Okay, whoa, let's go back. Is that what's going on here? No. The definition of a migrant is a person who moves from one place to another, especially in order to find work or a better living condition. Well, that might be part of the picture, but folks, that is not the whole picture. Because by definition, if I want to move three states over and get a better job, which I'm not going to do because I love my job, then I'm qualified as being a migrant. Or if somebody wants to move from Germany to the U.S. legally for work purposes or living condition purposes, well, they're a migrant. People migrate from Michigan to Florida in the winter because they don't want to sit on the ice. All right, that's a migrant. What we're dealing with here is illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. And boy, we got to get our words right. All right, enough of that. Let's move on to RFK Jr., because I think this is going to interest a lot of our audience. First off, to defuse the RFK Jr. isn't pro-life debate that has been going on in conservative circles, let's address that now. RFK Jr. is not as pro-life as any of us wish he were. That's a fact. And you can go back to his record on the campaign trail. You can go back to his record before that. And in throughout much of RFK Jr.'s modern record, he's actually pro-abortion, to a degree at least. And during some periods of his career, he's been more pro-abortion than other periods. More recently, over the past probably, let's say, 12 months, he's actually kind of reined in his abortion views. And he holds probably a very similar view than President Trump. And I'm not agreeing with RFK Jr.'s views. I'm just stating the facts. I'm just giving you the context that as far as where does RFK Jr. stand on the issue of abortion and pro-life, well, I'm telling you where he stands. The latest information is that he's probably about like President Trump, meaning he's probably in favor of abortion to a certain degree, to a certain level, and then he's against it to a certain degree and a certain level. Which our position is that life begins at conception. The Christian position and the biblical and scientific position is that life begins at conception and abortion should not be permitted under any circumstance because human life begins at conception. And then we can get into all the debate about exceptions and life of the mother and all that. That's really a terminology debate. Because I've quoted various doctors on this program about how the life of the mother is a facade to keep abortion on demand going. Because if the life of the mother is truly at stake, the physician's responsibility is to do what it has to do what he or she has to do to save the life of the mother. But that doesn't equate to purposefully taking the life of the child. If the child tragically dies during a preterm delivery, that's not a targeted abortion. That's not a selective abortion. But what the left wants to continue permitting indefinitely is the intentional targeting and taking the life of the child in the womb for whatever reason. All right. And so we can cover that the rest of that another day, but there's a lot of semantics involved. Am I concerned about RFK Jr. and his pro-abortion views? I wouldn't say that I'm not concerned at all, but my concerns are not to the level that I'm willing to oppose his nomination. I think that there are a plethora of pro-life policymakers both in the White House, and that's been exhibited already with reinstating the Mexico City policy. The pro-abortion HHS website was taken down within 20 minutes of the inauguration. I think there's enough pro-life policymakers in HHS currently, coming into HHS in the future, and at the White House and in Congress, to rein in any type of pro-abortion views that RFK Jr. might have. All right. Also, there is so much good that RFK Jr. wants to do that are also pro-life positions, by the way. Because pro-life, let's not get stuck in thinking that pro-life only means you're in favor, you're against abortion, and you're in favor of restrictions on abortion. There is so much more to the pro-life worldview, which is a biblical worldview, than just the issue of abortion, although that makes up the most prominent and well-known issue, and most pressing issue, by the way. So I don't want to discount or dismiss abortion, because that is a major, that's like the fundamental tenet of the pro-life movement, is stopping abortion because of just the pure evil of it. But there's a lot of evil as well taking place with these vaccines, with the pharmaceutical industry, with the medical and insurance industry. There's a lot of evil going on there, and a lot of anti-life policies and actions that are also very important that need to be highlighted. And this is what RFK Jr. has been focusing on for so long. So I think all in all, RFK Jr.'s nomination, should he be confirmed, is going to be a net positive for the pro-life movement. And let's just break these down. All right, let's just break these down. RFK Jr. has been accused of being anti-vax, which is a lazy way to discount any person who raises any concerns about the vaccine schedule, all right? And RFK Jr. combated this when one of the senators, Wyden, tried to once again accuse RFK Jr. of being 100% anti-vax, whatever that means. And RFK Jr. refuted this claim in the Senate hearing. This is going to be clip two. Let's listen.
Dr. Mark Hyman is the co-founder and chief medical officer of Function Health. So, Dr. Hyman, how well do you know RFK Jr.? I know that you're supportive of his nomination.
Yes, I've known Bobby for 20 years, and I deeply understand his thinking and his approach to trying to transform the health of America. And from my perspective, he's got tremendous integrity. He's looking at the science carefully. He's asking questions, and science is about asking questions. And what's shocking to me is that many people say the science is settled, and that is just a sentence you should never say. And so I think Bobby is a man who's looking to transform the health of America. We have 38% of our children and teenagers who are pre-diabetic. You know, we're 48th in life expectancy in the world. We spend 40% of the costs of all of our healthcare, which is almost $5 trillion. It's about $1-3 of the federal economy. We really need to fix it. And a lot of it is driven by our food system, which she's talked a lot about. And I think dealing with the ultra-processed food that we have, dealing with the way we actually do research in this country, funding research that's really focused on chronic disease is critical.
I listened to your interview with Dr. Marty McCary, who will be over at the FDA. It was the one from a while ago, and you brought up this point about asking questions in science. Listen to Bill Cassidy. He is a senator from Louisiana.
I agree with him on some things and disagree on others. The food safety, I think the ultra-processed food is a problem. Vaccinations, he's wrong on. And so I just look forward to having a good dialogue with him on that.
What do you understand his position on vaccines to be?
Yeah, well, I work closely with RFK Jr. on this, and I know he's clearly in support of vaccines. He's been vaccinated himself. He's vaccinated all of his children. He's not anti-vaccine. He's simply asking for us to look at the data and look at the questions that need to be looked at scientifically to assess the effects. And we're seeing this with the COVID vaccine. Pfizer released a whole scientific paper looking at all the complications and risks of actually the mRNA vaccines that are now coming to light.
All right, so there you have it. I got my clips mixed up, but that's still very relevant. So that was Dr. Mark Hyman, and he's Function Health co-founder. That's an organization. And Dr. Mark Hyman has worked closely with RFK Jr. over the years, so he knows his positions, he knows his worldview. And then I found the the Senator Cassidy clip quite humorous in the middle there that Fox News played. Folks, here's what's going on. We've got a lot of lazy people in this country. All right. And I hadn't even got to the health aspect. I'm talking mentally. We got a lot of mentally lazy people in this country because they don't want to engage in legitimate debate. For example, Senator Cassidy there, which I like on some, to quote himself, I like on some things and don't like on others. He just says, well, I agree with Kennedy on, you know, ultra processed foods, which is a scandal in and of itself, but he's wrong on vaccines. Well, what is that even? He's wrong on vaccines. That is the laziest assessment I've heard in my complete life. You are a U.S. senator, and all you've got is a talking point of he's wrong on vaccines. Can you expound on that, please? The reality is that the senator and others probably can't expound on that because they don't know any more than the talking point that their staff gave them, all right? And this is a problem with Congress and other institutions is people are absolutely lazy and they're fed talking points that they don't even know the fundamental data and statistics behind the talking points. And so they can't engage in deep thought and deep debate because they're not prepped, all right? And they don't care enough, which is frustrating. But to say RFK Jr. is anti-vax is to be mentally lazy, and that's putting it generous. I mean, I would argue some people are being intentionally deceptive using this terminology. And by the way, they've got, what, dozens of these vaccinations on these childhood schedules? I mean, it's patently absurd. It infuriates me when I take my kids to the doctor. And you're telling me that if I don't want one of the 75 shots, that equates to anti-vax? Oh, is that how we do things now in America? Are we that lazy? Are we that dishonest? Are we that demonizing that Americans cannot disagree on anything, otherwise you're anti? Is that the path we want to go down? It's absurd. The vaccine debate and topic in this country is a massive scandal. It's a massive moneymaker. And it's heavily outdated. All right? They don't take any of these shots off the schedule. They add shots to the schedule. They just added RSV last year, which is the common cold, to these childhood schedules. And they never take any vaccines off. And the vaccine industry is making billions on you and me. So we'll talk about this more.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to The Core. Here on American Family Radio, where last segment we talked about the RFK Jr. confirmation hearing on Capitol Hill. And just to jump right into this so we can hopefully cover all this before we wrap up the show and this segment. One of the senators, and this is a clip I meant to play earlier, one of the Democrat senators tried to repeat claims about RFK Jr. and quotes that he had made that had been refuted multiple times over the years about RFK Jr.'s view of vaccines. This goes into that whole anti-vax label that they like to put on anybody and everybody who raises any questions about vaccines. Let's listen to this exchange. This is clip 3.
In a podcast in 2020, you said, and I quote, you would do anything, pay anything to go back in time and not vaccinate your kids. Mr. Kennedy, all of these things cannot be true. So are you lying to Congress today when you say you are pro-vaccine? Or did you lie on all those podcasts? We have all of this on tape, by the way.
Senator, as you know, because it's been repeatedly debunked, that statement that I made on the Lex Fridman podcast was a fragment of the statement. He asked me, and anybody who actually goes and looks at that podcast will see this. He asked me, are there vaccines that are safe and effective? And I said to him, some of the live virus vaccines are. And I said, there are no vaccines that are safe and effective. And I was going to continue for every person. Every medicine has people who are sensitive to them, including vaccines.
Right. So
he interrupted me at that point. I've corrected it many times, including on national TV. You know about this, Senator Wyden. So bringing this up right now is dishonest.
Yes. Yes. These senators don't have anything to go on, so they're bringing up stuff that RFK Jr. has already refuted, including trying to accuse RFK Jr. of being anti-vax. And I'm so fed up with this lazy thinking, this lazy debate, where all we do is we label people pro and anti, and we don't even engage in any thoughtful discourse on what that actually means. And is the term accurate? Because what people do today, and this is what the left does, and unfortunately, my friends, this is actually a pretty prevalent debate even in conservative and Christian circles. But if people raise concerns, and this is because of the lazy media and the dishonest media, because they build these narratives, and the pharmaceutical industry, they fund all this propaganda. But for example, if I'm to raise any questions about the 15 immunizations that our kids get, if I raise a question about one of the 15, if I raise a question or say, I don't want my child getting one of the 15 on the childhood schedule, they put an equal sign beside that and put anti-vax. Walker's now anti-vax because he wants his child to get 14 shots instead of 15. It's actually hundreds of shots, but as far as the immunizations go, because all of them have multiple doses, most of them do. So it ends up being dozens, if not over 100 shots or doses, but the 15 separate immunizations that are currently on the CDC schedule, if I'm opposed for whatever reason, if I do my homework and I decide I don't like one of the 15, so I'm good with 14, they call me anti-vax. Now, how is that? How is getting 95% of the government-recommended immunizations anti-vax? Explain that to me. Explain that to me. And then they went down this path with the COVID shot to call it a vaccine, which in my opinion is deceptive trade practices. And it's deceptive business practices to tell consumers of a product that something is a vaccine when fundamentally it doesn't perform as a vaccine. But the pharmaceutical industry and the shot makers, they have zero liability because Congress decided to cut them a break. So we can't sue the pharmaceutical industry and the shot makers because they have liability protections. So we can't ever get in court to show that they are deceptively marketing the COVID shot as a vaccine, and by scientific standards, it's not performing as a vaccine, and they will tell you as such, according to their own clinical studies. Fauci even admitted this, that the COVID shot does not perform as a vaccine. It performs as a shot that, as a prophylactic is what it's called, that helps you manage symptoms better. But that's a whole different ballgame than a vaccine. But I digress. And so the anti-vax term and label is grossly abused, grossly abused. Furthermore, let's listen to RFK Jr. just to make sure we cover all of this, because this is more than just about shots and vaccines. RFK Jr. brought up the point about over-medication, which actually is something I hadn't thought about. I've thought about, well, like we're over-prescribing certain types of medications. I've talked about the antidepressant pill on the show, but there's so much more that is being over-prescribed, over-medicated, which is doing a lot of harm to people's immune systems and their body functions. Let's listen to RFK Jr. on the topic of over-medicating, clip 4.
15% of American youth are now on Adderall or some other ADHD medication. Even higher percentages are on SSRIs and benzos. We are not just over-medicating our children. We're over-medicating our entire population. Half the pharmaceutical drugs on Earth are now sold here. 70% of the profits from pharmaceutical companies are from the United States, even though we only have 4.2% of the world's population. Not only that, but a recent study by Cochrane Collaboration founder Peter Ghosh found that pharmaceutical drugs are the largest cause of death in our country after heart attacks and cancers. Oh, they're not making us healthier. We need community health initiatives. We need access to treatment. We need exercise. We need better food.
Yes. Yes. So I didn't know that, that 70% of the pharmaceutical industry's profits come from the U.S., and we only make up 4% of their customer base, basically. We make up 4% of the world population, which, i.e., is the customer base, right? So 70% of the profits, that just shows how overpriced everything is, all right? And when you look at how much we spend on healthcare, it's astronomical. Astronomical. What are we doing here? In 2023, the U.S. spent $4.9 trillion with a T on healthcare, which is 17% of our GDP. Medicare, $1 billion, 21% of our total healthcare spending, of the government, rather, is total healthcare spending. Medicaid, $870 billion the government spent. Private health insurance, actually $1.4 trillion. I'm sorry, that's more. That's $1 trillion. Medicare, $1 trillion. I got my commas wrong. Medicare, $1 trillion. Medicaid, $870 billion. This is the breakdown of the $4.9 trillion. Private health insurance, $1.5 trillion. Out-of-pocket, $500 billion. All right, so that roughly gets you to your $4.9 trillion. So we're spending more than any other nation on healthcare, and we're the unhealthiest, or one of the unhealthiest in the world. But we're supposedly the most advanced, right? And we do have access to the most healthcare that anybody could wish for, anybody could hope for. So there's a lot of positives about advancements in medicine in America. But there's a lot of issues that have come along with it as well that need to be pointed out. Looking at this, I'm just pointing some of these stats out just to show the point here, folks. And this is what if you wanted a Cliff Notes version of our show today, it's that on this topic of health and medicine in America, We're clearly not doing it all right. We're clearly not doing it all right. And I think it's naive and deceitful for these U.S. senators and others to talk to RFK Jr. like we've got it all figured out and you don't know what you're doing and you're going to come in here and you're going to mess up what we've got all figured out. All right? And this is the fundamental problem with Washington is they don't think they have a problem. And so they're talking like they've got it all figured out and this no-name RFK Jr. is going to come into D.C. and he's going to break everything because he doesn't know what he's doing and he's not an expert and he's not a scientist and he hadn't been in politics for 40 years. And so it's this naive thought process, and that's why they talk to these nominees like their children. And it's utterly disrespectful. It's demeaning. And it's also disrespectful of the voters that sent Trump there to appoint these people. So we don't have it all figured out. And if you need more evidence of that, well, let me give you some more stats. So Americans spend an average of $9,000 annually on single coverage. This is health insurance, this is not health care. This is health insurance, and there's a difference. Americans spend about $9,000, which is roughly $850, maybe a little more, or a little less, annually on coverage. Single individuals do. If you want to do a family plan, then you're going to spend about at least $25,000 on average for health insurance for a family. Which you may look at that, depending on your income level, and go, that's not a big deal. But for the vast majority of Americans, that's a big deal. That's a lot of money being sucked out of your paycheck for health insurance. If we want to look at waste in government health insurance-related categories, well, let's look at that. Here are some statistics on Medicaid waste and fraud. In 2024, there was about $31 billion in improper payments through Medicaid. In 2023, there was about $50 billion in improper payments through Medicaid. $80 billion again in 2022. In 2024, about 80% of Medicaid improper payments were due to insufficient documentation. So, like, no supporting documents to prove that you're eligible for Medicaid. Looking at, like, obesity, for example, in America. Now, the definition, the medical definition for obesity, when I look at it, I really don't like it. I think it's a little bit too stringent because, you know, it's very tight as far as the formula goes. But nonetheless, it is what it is. Just taking the accepted definition of obesity, as of 2023, 40% of the populace was classified as obese. And that's gone up from 30%, according to the same standard, back in 2000, all right, over the last, let's say, 20, 25 years. So a 10% rise. And then we could go through all the stats, right, of all the negative reports and studies about health in America. But once again, the moral of the story that I want us to end the show on is that clearly there's some things that got to be fixed. There's a lot about how America has advanced and innovated medically over the last few centuries, and the ability for us to export a lot of these advancements to the world to improve the quality of living for everybody. But there's also some major issues with how our system has just morphed over the decades, that we're at a point where massive reform is needed. Massive reform is needed. And the last thing I'll end on this with is the fact that we need common sense restored. And this is RFK Jr. talking about, you don't have to be a scientist to be the director of HHS. Clip 5.
What I want to do is, I'm not a scientist, I want to empower scientists. I want to make sure that science is unobstructed by vested or economic interest.
There you go. We need science that is unobstructed by vested and economic interest. So we need science that is true science, uncorrupted, and is aimed at the best outcome and the best results for the American people. And based on all the available information that we've covered, that's currently not happening. It's currently not happening. And we don't need a scientist or a quote-unquote expert to head up HHS. We need somebody with some common sense and with the ability to bring about mass reform within the entire healthcare and health insurance industry in America.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at a preborn network clinic who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son. who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance of life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 on your phone and then say the keyword baby. Or you can donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.